Now, as we press towards camp meeting is a special meeting. A special meeting is, as it goes, you have special meetings, meetings that take place for a purpose. And both today and all Wednesdays and Sundays, we're teaching the same things on the church meetings. We began the camp meeting based on God's instructions that we've been following. We modeled it after the Kenneth E. Hagin Ministries camp meeting, Kenneth Hagin Ministries camp meeting, and where the Word of God is taught, and the Spirit of God is giving a free course among believers, and all sorts of meetings are happening in the same meeting. So we're looking at two different things that should be post pre-camp meeting, in camp meeting, but very importantly post camp meeting. So I need you to pay very good attention to this thing. So we want to look at, well, it's actually the continuation of Substituting Brass for Gold, which we began a while back, looking at that story in Second Chronicles, where a king, because gold was taken away, now put brass instead. And we said many times we're under the temptation of what is convenient. And we have that tendency to say, well, what's convenient? What do I want? What's readily available? So most of the time, in the bead of that, we replace God's purpose and plan for what we want to do now. And we warn about that in that series. So this is going to be a continuation, but it's going to be a continuation now taking some very practical things in the services. So I want to look at the practice of the Spirit. That's Sergeant Brasco Go, practice of the Spirit. We want to look at the practice of the Spirit. And that's what we want to look at. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. You know, if you look at that teaching we had on brass for gold, the key issue, if you notice very well, was that we said, how, what's God's plan? Psalm 127 verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord watch a city, you know, those that watch it, you do it in vain. When they are awake, they watch in vain. And we said, you must build according to how God wants you to build. So your activity and the success of it and what people applaud doesn't necessarily mean you did the right thing. And sometimes people organize programs, and the programs are called highly successful. Maybe because of the turnout, maybe because of the, sometimes because of the offerings, sometimes because of the response in the media. Sometimes we have the wrong parameters, the response in the media. It's a successful program that we have had. In 1998, myself and some friends, we organized a camp meeting, called it the Prayer Line Charm Outreach Camp. I wasn't the leader of the ministry. I was one of the leaders, but my friend was the supervising leader, so I was a director, as we called it then, in that ministry. We had a camp meeting, and I recall the camp meeting was wonderful. We had the flow of the Spirit. We had the word taught. I taught, I think, Reality of Christianity or something like that. Yeah. So, we now had, when the meeting was done, and I asked my friends that we should do something. The meeting was, everybody was like happy because we had quite, you know, wonderful flow of the Spirit and all that. Then we sat back and we tried to analyze the meeting. I said, let's talk about this meeting. Yes, people said they had a good time. Yes, people were healed. We had such the demonstration of the flow of the Spirit. But was that the plan? You know, one of my friends said, why are you asking this kind of question? I said, well, you have to ask yourself a question, because what people say shouldn't be the judge. And so I asked those questions. What do you think this meeting was about? And was that what happened? Because if believers will be judged, that means even the things of the Spirit that we yield to, alright, is still going to be based on our obedience. We're still going to be responsible for the ministry of the things of the Spirit. If you're going to be judged for everything you do in the ministry, that means that having a good time is not good enough. And that's been my way of looking at things. So I want to look at the practice of the Spirit. James 1, I said. James, the writer of the book of James. One brother once said, like Paul said in the book of James. That's quite a mystery. It says in verse 21, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. In other words, he's saying, receive what has saved you. Because in verse 18 he says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be slow to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Now 22 is my text. But be ye doers of the word. Be ye doers of the word, and not carers only, deceiving your own selves. Be ye doers of the word, and not carers only, deceiving your own selves. We'll talk about our scripture, we'll come back to it later. The word doers of the word is to make a practice of something. It is used for a couple of things, and one of them is to make do with something. Also to act upon. Okay? Another one is to produce in your lifestyle. That's the shade of that word, doers. Then it says, and not hearers only. He's not saying you should be an error, but an error is another word that implies someone that goes to watch. In those days, it's used for watching arts, when you are a fan. So it's not really just the listening, but where you go to maybe cheer others. You're there. You're not part of the drama. You're not part of the work. You're basically just applauding those who are and just being around it. Wow! What a... Just like if you're a football fan, you just watch. And sometimes, some of the football fans, when you give them the football, then they turn to another man. All the things they used to say about, you should have just given a true pass. They begin to give false passes throughout the game. No, he should have knocked the ball down. Simple, knocked it down. Oh, ball control. There will be some of you, it's not a competitive game. It's not even a game. You just ask them to hold the game and they'll fall down on the ball. You know, so there are errors only. Just watch. Then he says, deceiving your own selves. We're going to come back to that statement, deceiving your own selves. So, James recognizes that it's possible for someone who is born of the Word, and also in this instance, born of the Spirit, to not do the Word, But what he does is that he's a hearer only. And that's very typical of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. As brethren, I couldn't speak unto you as of the spiritual, but as the carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. But I fed you with milk, and not with meat, either though you were not able to bear it, neither are you now able to bear it. You're yet carnal, you walk as mere men. So it's the same thing James is saying, that you are not doing the word, even though you are born of the word. Paul says you are not walking in the spirit, even though you are born of the spirit. So they're saying the same thing. Now, quickly, ask this. You know, when we say arousing the lordship of the word, for example, and demonstrating the influence of the spirit. For example, look at camp meeting. Reinforcing salvation through faith by the word and the spirit. That was the theme of our believers, Rivers of Joy in the 90s. Reinforcing salvation through faith by the word and the spirit. Now, there is a tendency to make a distinction or a separation between the word and the spirit, which technically you shouldn't, but it should be used in practice. What do I mean? Now, when you say the word, it's the word because it's breathed by the spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 15, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise, through knowledge salvation through faith that is in Christ. All scripture is inspired by God. Theonistos, where you have the word spirit, is inspired by God's spirit. By the time you use the word inspired, that's already the term spirit. So what we call the scriptures, or call it the prophetic scriptures, according to Paul in Romans 16:26 and Luke 24 and 25, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The prophets have spoken. Hebrews 1:1, God who has sundry times in diverse manner spoken time past by the prophets. Hebrews 1:1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 Peter 1:20. For no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. But the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of men, verse 21. But the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, in other words, he's already saying what we call the word is spirit inspired. So if the word is spirit inspired, that means the word are the words of the spirit. Okay. So when we say word and spirit, what is meant is not a separation. It is the word and then the practice of the word. That's the essence of that. The word and then the practice of the word. Because what is called the word, for example, the epistles are teachings from the inspired scriptures. So we call it the word. That is, the word is the walking of the spirit. So it's not like I have the word, I don't have the spirit kind of stuff. No. It's just something said, for practical application. It's not something we should not make a distinction or, sorry, a separation. We can make a distinguishing, but not a separation. So, I just said that because of the theme, word and the spirit. Arousing the lordship of the word. I remember my friend who gave us that name, that theme, 1997. We were having a success seminar. So we had the meeting. It was a wonderful service, and he taught, and we were leaving. And that morning, we sang the song, what's that song again? I'm in fellowship with the Father. I'm in fellowship with. We sang it in a Kabu Kabu early in the morning. And then we composed that song. And so, now I'm getting something wrong. I think I'm mixing that up. I remember that song was in another car. No. This thing was. So we're talking, then he said, so we heard this song by, this was 96, sorry. What's his name again? Dom Wen. Be it unto me, according to your word. You know, and then he said, you know, Dom Wen said, be it unto me, Lord, we bow at the lordship of your word. And so my friend said, what a thing. He said, pineapple like a spade family fellowship, heralding the lordship of the word. I said, demonstrating the influence of the spirit. He said, that's cool. That's how we got there, alright? So just like he gave the name of the fellowship, Faith Family Fellowship, so he gave the theme. Just like Saints Community Church, I didn't give the name. Somebody gave the name. He's not here again. He's still a saint. Was here again. Okay, so how did I tell you all that history for? I don't know. So, when we say the Spirit, it's to show us the content of the practice of the Word. And you see what I mean. So, the Word and the Spirit really aren't separate entities. The Spirit is in the Word. Alright? Because the Word came by the Spirit. And then the things of the Spirit are in the Word. So it's just for the sake of practice that that phrase is used. Does that make sense? Alright, good. Now, so, he says, be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only. Then he says, James says, deceiving your own selves. Now go to John 14. So the Word will be the Word, the Gospel, of which we are born, the Word of redemption, the Word of a new creation, the prophecy of the Scriptures, what Christ has done. Okay, that's the Word. Be ye doers of the Word. Since he says, of his own will begat he us, James 1, 18, with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his own creatures, or of his creatures. So, in other words, the Word will be the fulfilled promise of God from the Old Testament. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 19 and 20, all promise of God are in him, yea and amen. Acts 13, verse 32, we declare unto you the glad tidings, which the promise that God made to the fathers, he has fulfilled the same, verse 33, unto us, their children, in that he raised Christ from the dead. Romans 1, 2, separated the gospel of God, the gospel of God, which he promised aforetime by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Romans 1, 2, verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ, who was made the seed of David according to the flesh, and verse 3, he is he is declared the Son of God for by the Spirit, by the resurrection from the dead, by the Spirit of holiness, in power, by power, in the Spirit of holiness, Romans 1, 3 and 4. So that means when we say the Word, we mean the fulfilled promise. When we say the Word, we mean the Old Testament fulfilled now. When we say the Word, we mean the gospel preached unto us. That's what we call the Word. So the Word, therefore, will be the utterance of the Spirit, or the words of the Spirit, now fulfilled in us. 2 Peter 1, 19, and, 19. It says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Propheticon, words of the prophets, words inspired of the Holy Ghost. So since we have that, so in other words, it means that the Word is Spirit inspired. The Gospel is Spirit breathed. The Gospel is Spirit promised. You cannot separate the Word from the Spirit, because the Word is called God's Word because it came to us by God's Spirit. Does it make sense? Does it make sense, sir? Does that make sense? Very good. Now, look at John 14. In John 14, verse 16, giving us the fulfillment of the promise, he says in 4:16, and I pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Then in 20, at that day you shall know I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. How? By the Spirit. In other words, that Christianity is life in the Spirit. Say Christianity is life in the Spirit. Say Christianity is life in the Spirit. Very good. So, if we understand that all that Christ has done will be fulfilled in the indwelling of God in the believer, which you now call the residing of the Spirit in us, that means the entire Christian living is Spirit inspired. It is Spirit walk. Because if it's such that everything we call Christianity is the Spirit of God now living in us, that's how the promise is fulfilled. God living in us is the Spirit of God living in us. Christ living in us is the Spirit of God living in us. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law couldn't do, that was weak in the flesh, God sent his own Son's life of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So those that are of the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. Those that do of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. It says, to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Said, the kind of mind is enemy towards God. They said, Lord, what nigga can it be? So those that are in the flesh cannot please God. It says in verse 8, you are not in the flesh, verse 9, but in the Spirit, 9. Now, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of it. So he says, Christianity is Christ in you. Christianity is the Spirit in you. The Christ being you, the body is dead, sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead, Christ from the who cooking and water bodies, by his Spirit that dwells in you. For your debtors, not to live after the flesh, but if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, verse 14, they are the sons of God. We have not received the Spirit of body again to fear, but the Spirit of adoption, everybody will cry out, Father, but the Spirit beareth witness itself, brethren, with our Spirit, that we are the children of God. Said, if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God, and joined heirs together with Jesus. But if you look at the key element in Romans 8, the key element is you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if you go to church. If you change your haircut. Though some people you change their haircut. Amen. If the Spirit of God dwells in you. So the indwelling of the Spirit is being born again. That's Christianity. It's not joining a church. The reason why many people don't know till date when they got born again. There are few people that I've met. And this is, I'm even talking in Saints Community Church as well, who can tell me exactly when they received the new birth. Very true. They'll dance around and dance around. You know, dance around and dance around. Thank God for the message of faith where you are assured. You know, if we say, well, if you're not too sure of the day you got born again, you better be sure now. Some guys can do it all over again. Well, I don't know. When I was in secondary school, I came out. When I was in university, I went in. When I was in anything, but did I hear the true gospel? No, it's not the true gospel. That guy was preaching here. So sometimes men can't really tell you when they got saved, and then they now hear some overboard preachers and say, if the fellow did not rightly divide the Old Testament and gave you the redemptive reality in a Christocentric fashion, then you were not born again. It's, I'm still not born again, you know. Because you look at the person who preached when you were born again, Christo, what? So you can feel, maybe I'm not saved at all. So there are few people that can not tell. And I'll tell you why you can't tell. Many times, it's not really what you heard. that made you confess is not what you heard. It's what was said after. It's what was now said after that confused you. This is true because I know that when I got saved after that again. You know, and I got saved a couple of times till salvation and myself fought. She said, you know what, salvation, stay for some time. Let's decide who will be saved. But I tracked back and I felt, no, I heard the right thing. I didn't hear it in a didactic fashion, in a series. I didn't hear it taught from Luke 24. Alright, I got you there. I didn't get it from Polumelos, Polytropos. You see, I didn't hear all that. But did I release faith in the death of Jesus? Yes, I did. Did I release faith in the fact that he rose from the dead for my sins? Yes, I did. Did that message tell me I was righteous? No, it didn't. Okay? But it told me I was saved. Alright? And that means I was a child of God. And to help me out, a couple of minutes after, I was taking a few meters away. I still know the spot where I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I always say, they gave me one day. And I didn't speak in tongues in 5 minutes after I got born again, or maybe 10 minutes after. I would have questioned it. Because I was really questioning the salvation by what I felt. But it was good enough. Brother Ehide Imen, he got me filled with the Holy Ghost quickly. And I spoke in tongues. That was fine. Though what they told me about the tongues was also needed an interpretation. You know, but that's fine. Yeah. They told me unknown things about tongues. That's fine enough. But I spoke in tongues, I believe. And so I could go back and say, no, I was saved. I was saved. And I was saved. Now, that doesn't mean you were saved too. They'll say, So you're not elongated, then you go born again. I've been saved for 35 years. I understand that, you know. But the point is, it was oftentimes what was said afterwards. It didn't just take away your salvation. Sorry, your assurance. It also took away the salvation. You felt, huh? But after a while, you know, you heard truths that reinforced that. I remember the first book I read was the book of Assurance of Salvation. I almost mentioned the author. I lost my assurance that night. You know, I was so grateful. Not long after that, I attended a discipleship class, even though till tomorrow, I can't remember anything they taught. By Dr. Hugh Weber at the New Covenant Church. He hadn't started Glory Tabernacle then. And we kept going. All I just understood that we're taking Bible somewhere, we had outline, and we're writing notes. I don't know what I wrote. But I just felt, this looks like serious Christianity. At least we're going somewhere like school. You know, so that's fine. So sometimes that's really the confusion. Because oftentimes, those who preach the gospel may not understand the intricate epignosis of this truth. Might pass across something else to you after you've heard the gospel. And so the fact that Christianity is the spirit element oftentimes is missing. So you are going forward after the altar call, as we call it, to impress God rather than give him an expression. Doesn't mean God is inside, he's right in there. But just like Paul said to the guys in Galatia, how will you begin in the spirit and then you want to be perfected in the flesh? In other words, you can begin in the spirit and go into performance. Doesn't mean you weren't saved at all. And so that usually happens because the spirit element of Christianity is missing in your thinking. And so it took people like Kenneth E. Hagin, whom I'm always grateful for, and E.W. Kenyon, not Kenyon first, was Hagin first, that helped me in little materials I was reading to say, oh, so this is who I am in Christ. This is what I have in Christ. I didn't even understand much of it because after confessing that, I still confess other things after. But at least it was a journey. You know, that's why sometimes when you're doing follow-up, do not rush people even when they say nonsense. I said more nonsense than you can think. Don't rush people. Alright? Many times when I'm making a joke, many people don't know I'm laughing at myself. Because I'm just wondering, were you really stupid? How did you think this way? You know, but fine. So really, that spirit element, in the moment it's missing, you go into works. Let me say this. It's very easy to assume that those who are exposed to the revelation of redemption that is found in Christ, a new creation, and you know, reality of the word, reality of the new creation in Christ, reality of redemption in Christ, reality of the indwelling of the Spirit, fellowship with the Father, the use of the name of Jesus, that the moment you know that, that you can't slip into works. That's not true. You can even be a preacher. And in those moments, you slip into works. Works has two elements, synonymous. Number one is no longer faith and grace. It's no longer by His Spirit. It's no longer faith and grace. It's now by His Spirit. So you are not into walking in the Spirit. You are now performing. And so that's what works is. Where you now apply human effort. And it's not human effort. By grace are you saved through faith. Not of your own selves, the gift of God. Not of works, as any man boasts. Verse 10, you are the workmanship of God, Ephesians 2, created in Christ Jesus with good works, which God had ordained beforehand that you should walk in them. So you are walking in the new creation that you are. So even when there has to be an effort, that effort is spirit inspired. I need to realize that. So that's still Christianity. You need to realize that very quickly. So when we say the word and the word is spirit inspired. Okay, so the truth is, what did Jesus promise? Jesus didn't promise a shirt. I'm thankful for that. He didn't promise a shoe. He didn't promise a beard. He promised the Spirit. That's all He promised. That's all. So the only evidence of Christ's resurrection will be the Spirit. That's the only. Not one of the evidences. No. It's the only evidence. And that evidence is in the heart of the believer. That's what it is. The only evidence that Jesus rose from the dead is in the Spirit. That's the only evidence today. Now, so all He said in John 14 is upon His resurrection. In verse 12, he that believes in Me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than this, because I go to My Father. And he said, whatever you ask the Father, whatever I ask in My name, that will I do, pardon me. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now by saying that will I do, don't stop in there. You read verse 16, 17, and 20. I'll do it because now I live in you. How do I live in you? By the allos parakletos. The Spirit in you will do the works of Jesus. So, you must not sleep into performance. Where doing the word and obeying the traffic light is the same to you. That's tough for a Nigerian, right? Doing the word and not crossing the lawn. You know? Remember when I first got to Government College, Ibadan, we're told don't cross the lawn. So there was one fellow, he was observing it well, so a senior called him. He said, one goat, that's really the key word. Said, yes, he said, come here. So he saw the lawn, he went around. The guy said, why did you do this? I don't want to cross the lawn. He gave him a dirty slap to clear the lawn of his ears. So at that point, I knew that that rule had conditions. Don't cross the lawn only when a senior is not calling you. Or else he will cross the lawn of your ears. Sometimes those are the laws we think. I should not cross the lawn. I shouldn't do this one. I will do this so that, you know, it's nice, but it's actually a performance Christianity. You know, That's why you observe that the Christian walk is powerly first by what you say. I am a new creation in Christ. Sin has no dominion over me. I don't say that after I overcame a temptation. I say that before the temptation came. I'm not saying it because I overcame a temptation. If I said that because I overcame a temptation, then I am in the walk's terrain. In other words, I know performance Christianity when it's without doing anything, I'm what he says. So I do because I'm what he says. I'm not what he says because I did, no. I do it because I'm what he says. I'm who he says I am. So that's how to separate performance Christianity. I say it like this. You see, when you have someone so scared of God that he doesn't do the wrong thing so that God doesn't kill him. You see, now this is a very controversial statement. It's better he does it, then he knows he's forgiven, than he's not doing it because God's going to kill him. Now I'm not saying you should go ahead and do it. But I'm saying that, you see, the point is he must see that, look, you're loved, you're prized of God, you are his son. No one should glory in his children thinking they earn his fatherhood. No. No one should glory in his children thinking that they earn his support. No, that's not true. And so the point is, I do right because of my DNA. I don't have God's DNA because I just did right. No, I do right because I have his DNA. See, I've got God's DNA. That's why I do the right things. That's why I do the word. Very good. Which means that when I read the epistles become for me an album. What do I mean by that? Since the Spirit of God that inspired the epistles lives in me, so which means the epistles is my story. It's my story. What I hear, walk or do, that's not just a performance. That is telling you an instruction to give expression. So you get that very clear. You mustn't sleep into the fact that I became a new creature because I've studied very hard. I now understand context and pretext and understand the original language. You're sleeping into walks. You're gradually getting into earning who you are. And that's the wrong thinking. God gave you his Spirit so that he will be the one being given the expression. Get that really clear. Don't sleep into that unconscious. You know, you can have this unconscious feeling, and sometimes it's because you haven't fed on these realities long enough. You have this unconscious feeling. Sometimes it's unconscious that maybe, you know, that was maybe I didn't do this. Maybe. The doing is still God's Spirit. Let that sink in your heart. And so when we say to do the word will now be to give expression to the new birth. To give room for the new birth. Don't get to that place of. So we know, we're talking about substituting brass for gold. You can subtly substitute spirit-led living for monotonous mechanical living. Monotonous mechanical living. Now that's not wrong in being having the boredom in your mind and all that, but you're not just mechanical. Mechanical. And those are the things we're going to deal with in this series. Are you still there? So, in the resurrection, watch this now. Jesus simply says to his disciples, he says, in Luke 24, he had told them how they will preach in 47, repentance and remission of sins, you preach in his name among all nations, begin at Jerusalem. Verse 48, and you are witnesses of these things. But he tells them that you shall be endued with power from on high. He says, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. For I send the promise of my Father upon you. I want you to observe something in there. When it says on high, don't separate that statement from the John 14, where he says, where I am, you'll be also. So he's saying, you'll be empowered from on high. In other words, from where you will be in the new birth, there will be an empowerment to be a witness. And so in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, not the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 1:8. In Acts 2:33, Peter says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father, absolutely, the promise of the Holy Ghost, which he has shed forth the promise of the Holy Ghost you received of the Father, which you now see and you hear. In other words, Jesus told them to expect the walk of the Spirit. Yes, quite close. To expect the work of the Spirit. A few things now. So Christianity will be God at work in us. It will be God at work in us. So Christ gave post-resurrection instructions. He gave the instructions based on the indwelling of the Spirit. There was nothing he said that wasn't prompted from the indwelling of the Spirit. They were never going to end the indwelling. They were going to walk in the indwelling. It's the indwelling that produces, allow me to use that phrase, the Spirit upon. The Spirit upon is the Spirit within being demonstrated by the recipients. We have a book on that, Baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we also have a series on that, the Baptism of the Holy Ghost. We also have a Spirit within and Spirit upon. We also have in the Spirit by the Spirit. We have teachings that we've done all that. So you have the Spirit upon. So the Spirit upon is dependent on the Spirit within. That's the Spirit within. You are born again. In other words, all that we saw in the book of Acts, which can be phrased the work of the Spirit, baptism of the Holy Ghost, they are the outpourings of the new birth. They are the outpourings of a new birth. Call it the physical, vocal expressions of the new birth. The physical and vocal expressions of a new birth. Take it again. The physical and vocal expressions of the new birth. So let's look at a few things quickly. In Mark 16:15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out demons. Then he says, they will speak with new tongues. They will speak with new tongues. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, hold on somewhere. In Acts 1:8, we said, you shall receive power for the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And this speak with new tongues was now seen in Acts 2. Which means that Mark 16 is a summary of the book of Acts. Or call it the walk of the Spirit through the believer, or call it the physical and vocal evidences of a new birth. The physical and vocal evidences of a new birth. I'll take it again. So the book of Acts will be the physical and vocal evidences of the new birth. So, in Acts 2:1, now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them the three cloven tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that means Mark 16:17 to 18 was by the Spirit. As the Spirit gave them utterance. So what we call the signs of the gospel in Mark 16:15 to 18, you can also add 20, that's the walk of the Spirit. That's the walk of the Spirit. So, therefore, it says in Acts 2:3 or 4, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, he has a double emphasis there. They were filled with the Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, what did the bystander, the bystander didn't see the Spirit, but the bystanders heard them, and they saw physically what they did by the Spirit. Now, the fact that what you have done is done in natural doesn't mean it's not by the Spirit. So what they did is by the Spirit, even though it was a physical evidence, it was a vocal evidence. So, you therefore will say, tongues, which is in Mark 16:17, will be a vocal evidence of the indwelling of the Spirit. A vocal evidence of the indwelling of the Spirit. Now, I say it this way. There's a way the book of Acts makes an undiscerning reader think that those things were one-off. In fact, interestingly, I'm grateful I learned this much later. It was Rahab Bonke that helped me, first of all, understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was Rahab Bonke. I just read a tract of it in 1990. That was the first thing that, because I was very confused. I didn't really understand. I remember we had this service in 1989 when they said, if you had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it's not flowing. So people came out for it to flow. And all of us who flowed out were already speaking in tongues in the flow. So I was really confused. And then it was Red Monkey. Then later on, the next year, a friend of mine gave me a book by Kenneth Hagin. You know, there's no way I can talk without talking Kenneth Hagin. So, well, Kenneth Hagin, and I was like, yes. Oh, yes. You know, but you can't argue it with anybody, just saying yes in your heart. Because you can't even know why it is yes. You're only glad at least it's yes. So sometimes the book of Acts presents itself like they spoke in tongues and was like, wow, what an encounter. Everybody just went back. So you won't find the continual practice of it in the book of Acts. You won't see it. Tongues appears like something that just happened to people and they were glad it happened. Acts 2, 1-4. Acts 10:44 down to 46. Acts 19 and verse 6. It happens like, oh, this just happened. Wow! But we're glad it happened. But when you get to the epistles, which is understandable, because the book of Acts is to write in 28 chapters, events that many letters now wrote about. So you have short narratives, you know, that really didn't say all that must have happened. For example, people think that the book of Acts, they're working miracles every day. And I laughed to someone who said it. I said, there are two chapters in the book of Acts that I can show you that happened in 18 years. Two chapters. Two. In fact, one of the chapters happened about 6 years after the verse before it. One of the chapters. That is, there's a verse. A verse 5 happened, say, 1954. Verse 6 happened 1960. But you read it like the second day, Monday, Tuesday. You get it? Well, that's for another study. So, you discover that that's almost the thing in people's minds. Some graduated further. Maybe you have to say, the Spirit of God is going to come upon you now. Upon you now. Yes. Yes. Welcome, Holy Spirit.
That was it.
Then everybody now calms down. Spirit has gone. Now, let me say something to you that is important. Oftentimes, if you are not careful, your first experience is more real to you than any other thing. That's your first experience. If you are not careful, you think the other ones, you made them up. So, you just feel, and then you feel, that's the experience. So, Paul now writes to a church in 1 Corinthians 12:1, now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. Which is a Greek word that has to do with deliberate ignorance. I would not have you ignorant. I wouldn't have you ignorant. You know, how interesting it is was that we used to do Bible study in those days. And somehow, when I was with Brother Higgin today, and he said this, I laughed at myself. He said, the Baptist church, this is Brother Higgin, I'm quoting Brother Higgin, so don't quote me and don't make me the subject. He said, the Baptist church, Kenneth E. Higgin is gone now, so you can't look for him. He said, the Baptist church loved the book of Corinthians so much that they loved chapter 11, the communion, the covenant of head, they skipped chapter 12, loved 13 about love and condemning people about love, forgot about 14, but liked it about the resurrection. He said they deliberately missed. So when he said that, I just remembered us. I said, it's true. How did we read that 12? You know, until I read a book by Brother Higgin again, concerning spirituals. I saw the book concerning spirituals. Spirituals. Where is this word, spirituals? I know holiness, sanctification, heaven, hell, Satan, sin, fornication, evil, good, Adam, fruit, apple, Eve, Moses, Canaan, Egypt, Red Sea, perish, Pharaoh. There's a place you know them very well. You can quote where they are. Ahithophel, Rehoboam, Jehoram, Judas, Thomas, Simon the sorcerer. Yeah, I don't even know that one. Thomas, Mary the mother of Jesus, John the Baptist, you know all those key issues, 666, white throne judgment, the great dragon, 144,000, after meeting Jehovah's Witness people, you know that verse very well, 144,000, then you hear the seven churches, I will not blot your name out, and all the other things. Spirituals. What's that? So I began to read. And I don't know about you, but I can tell you point of my life when I came to this knowledge, these things I come to know them, I usually shed tears. I thought one day, I mean, even having known this, I was teaching in the ministry and people like me to teach. I'll be quoting scriptures like a machine. So I said, ah, that guy knows Bible. He said, I counted 150 scriptures. I thought, nah, that's it. So I'm teaching one day, and then my friend, he said, how did you preach listing principles like a lecturer? I felt embarrassed. And that day it was one of my hottest sermons. I won't tell you the title. Because I see you that title, we have rebranded it. Old Habits Die Hard. There's a particular teaching like that. I've been hearing for years. Shall I tell you? I'll tell you. Parable of the Sower. You know, I always talk about it. It's my first, one of my first sermons. I will start to get there. Say, are you listening to things like a lecturer? Because when I talk Parable of the Sower, I went to Psalm 12, Psalm 5. Then Isaiah 12, Psalm 5. How did you link this up? But you know the funny thing? When I was seeing Isaiah, I linked it. You didn't know. I did. I won't give up. Every scripture is about Jesus. I'm kidding. So he said that. So he gave me a book. As I read the book, I began to cry. Oh my God. But some guys just said, I have what to preach now. No, I don't think like that. I go, wow. What truth? What truth about salvation? What truth about holiness? What truth about healing? You know? So when I read that message, concerns the things of the Spirit. Brother Hagin said, that word spiritual, the word gives is in italics. I don't know what italics. Italics? Romanic? Greek? Then he said, his things of and pertaining to the Spirit. I like that. Things of and pertaining to the Spirit. It is better than Book of Life. Your name is not there. Are you ready? You know, it just happened like a truth that opened my heart to love Jesus. You know? And so I remember when I read that material with white tongues, I began to speak with tongues and I loved the Lord. There are times I spoke it on and I'm feeling, am I ever holy? Because he said, if you speak with tongues with an unholy vessel, it's demon tongues. You don't know. You guys are so blessed. Oh my God. And you know, the truth about me was, I wasn't learning those things Sunday, then two Sundays after. It was in discipleship class. Do you know what I mean? Discipleship class. When you are learning it, and after you go and pray, Father. Did you get it? So imagine getting a hold of the word. It is the same attitude. Hallelujah. And I'm still growing. Amen. So, concerning the thing, I won't have you ignorant. The things of that pertain to the Spirit, I won't have you ignorant. Interestingly, he writes this to a church that in the opening pages of the letter, he says that you come behind in no gift. Chapter 1, verse 7. Yet he says, I don't want you to be. So, if Jesus gave us instructions which are to be done by the Spirit, if he gave us instructions of the things of the Spirit, that means the things of the Spirit is the Word. And if I'm going to do the Word, I'm going to do the things of the Spirit. Of course, you know what I mean by the things of the Spirit. What Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12, 1, for example. So go to James 1, 22. Be ye doers of the word. Now, you know what you do because of this series? In your James 1, 22, now put beside it, doers of the things of the Spirit. Be ye doers. You know, he didn't say, ensure you have done. No, be doers. of the word and not hearers only. And not hearers only. You know, someone told me one time, we're having this meeting, Word of the Mission, 1998. And then this guy said, we're having a Holy Ghost meeting. Myself, TJ, ministered, Luke also ministered, and about five of us. We're ministering in that meeting. Well, quite a great meeting. In fact, it was such a Holy Ghost meeting. So a fellow, he was a pastor on the campus then. So he walked away and just said, he said, concerning spirituals, I know it. Then I went to him and I said, well, this is my answer. I said, well, the Holy Ghost knows it. He hasn't left the meeting. Praise God. Yeah, he said, yeah. And my friend, you know, we were very naughty then. My friend just gave him a word of knowledge. He said, well, I remember the disease. So you're suffering from this and all that. You went to the doctor on Friday and you got to. I said, so you heard that, go back to the meeting now. Definitely the guy still doesn't flow with the Spirit too now. Yeah. How long will you provoke me, says the Lord of hosts. Don't mind me. So, I'm not hearers only. Akrotis in the Greek. He just says, woo! Woo! So I say, I went to a Christianoica meeting. Ah! The guy said, I thought I was in Kenneth Higgins' meeting. That's what the guy said. Beautiful. So, wow. So I used to watch those things in television. Well, I saw it in Christianoica's meetings. Yeah. The next day, it was another meeting. Selah. And I kind of felt, what a good hearer of the word. Because if you're a doer of the word, you won't go for such kind of meeting. Why would you come for the Christianoica meeting, as you say? You don't know what that is. And you claim to have seen Kenneth Higgins come back to life. Apparent nonsense. And then he says, oh, I say, and you so go to a place where they say, what was the meeting then for you? You're only a hearer of the word, not a doer. James says, deceiving your own selves, paralogismai in the Greek, which means that you acted besides what you heard. You acted beside what you heard. I have this thing. When I come in contact with the truth of God's word on any subject, I tell myself, I'm going to live this way for the rest of my life. It's not good enough to share with others and preach to others. You know, it's not good enough. No. Make a practice of it. Look at Paul. 1 Thessalonians 5. That is all. So, see the things of the Spirit as God's word that must be practiced as God's word. They are not seasonal instructions. 1 Thessalonians 5. Yes, Paul. Amen. You know, Lord spoke to us about camp meetings. A camp meeting will have a form of World Changers Conference. And I'm just going to exhort you to not attend the meetings. You know you can take a fast during the meetings. You can take a fast. You can. Yeah, you can. You know, when you're fasting, you don't take a stroll with people to go and eat, at least that one. You're not likely to go gist somewhere. Many of us don't know how to get blessed in meetings. If I go for a camp meeting or a meeting, I go for caretaking meetings, I go after every session, I go to the room to pray. How will I fly all the way from Nigeria to go and have coffee? I don't even take coffee. I like tea. I don't even like tea, really. I like Biggie. So I'll say, how do you like Biggie? Check the address. It's a world-class drink. Only producing a world-class place. Can't feel good, you know? You know? Alright. So, how do we get here? Cap meeting. You can fast, right? We're going to fast as a church, but you can also fast in the prayer. And wait on the Lord. Amen. Then you start telling me the glory, glory. Come up and know what you start telling me. Glory, what the glory. 2 years ago, glory. Last year, glory. Next year, see, glory, glory, glory. Jesus, glory. Because you're just passing through the motions. Hallelujah. Because familiarity is one of the greatest dangers in consistency. You treat every meeting like the first time. Praise God. Alright, Pastor Lewis 5. 16, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse 19, quench not the spirit. Quench not the spirit. Or better still in the Greek, quench not the spirit's fire. Or say, quench not the spirit's inspiration. So you can quench the spirit. Brother Higgin was saying this afternoon, listening to his teaching, Brass for Gold, yeah, for days. He said, and I've seen that happen. Some guys are going to argue against this, but I know. I always tell people, you know, sometimes I said something about clapping. And then somebody went overboard, and he said, I don't believe all that, you know, about clapping. And I told a young man, I said, you watch people that have been flowing with the Spirit of God well enough. Don't listen to upstarts. I said, I've been organizing the Holy Ghost meeting for 25 years. If I tell you, listen to me. And I've been training people from different denominations how to flow with the Holy Ghost. And Kenneth Hagin and Brother Tobes. I saw Brother Tobes flow with the Holy Ghost. He was the first person that's organized a Holy Ghost meeting, very real. And I felt, my God. That's why sometimes when I'm ministering, I talk like him. So I said, why? Because I saw it through him first. I talk like him. There's no one that's original. Praise God. If you learn from people, you can't be original. I learn from people. Praise God. So I say, how come when you're talking here, you're different? Well, I'm preaching. I didn't learn preaching from school. I learned preaching from the pulpit. So I mirror people I listen to. Praise God. You understand that? Amen. I consciously do it because I learn from them. Praise God. Yeah, no problem. Ain't no problem. So, you know, you watch those things. Quench not the spirit. You can quench the things of the spirit. You can quench the things of the spirit. That's why sometimes when you have a meeting, a Holy Ghost meeting, you'll be led who you give the microphone to. We're having a Holy Ghost meeting in Tedder Hall, 1995. And there's a sister is still a friend, and she's a friend on Facebook. I try not to mention her name because we are friends. So we told people, you know, whatever you have in your heart, come out and say. So we had a Holy Ghost. In fact, the Holy Ghost was so interesting. One brother was going to rejoice over the railings, and we kind of stopped that joy. I'm not joying the Holy Ghost anymore. No ET causing here. So she said, she just came up. The meeting was so up, she came up. And then somehow when she stepped up, I sensed in my heart, why did we call her? I looked at my friend, we looked at each other, and I didn't know why. But she was a good friend, and she wasn't wearing a scarf. So it wasn't a problem. She had a well-made hair, a big bangling earring. She has no bandana. You don't know what that is. Someone comes to your meeting with scarf or beret. So we gave her the microphone. We knew something was wrong. And the meeting was in all joy. So she said, At that point, I knew we were in trouble. She said,
There are people today who are healing the sick and working miracles under a hellfire. Oh my God. I looked at Larry and I said, Bishop, what's this? And he looked at me, were you not here? She said, oh, that goes. Now what's she doing? She is quenching the spirit. You can. Someone gives an utterance and say, gives a word of knowledge. You say, there's someone in here. Yeah. And someone says, oh, whoa. No, you're quenching the spirit. He's not performing. He's giving expression to God's spirit. It's not him. It's Jesus. Glory to God. Okay? So quench not the spirit. Praise God. Despise not prophesies. See that? Despise not prophesies. We'll take on that later, but the point is don't despise it. Don't despise it. Don't see it on a lesser light. Some of us used to sing a lot in the spirit and sing ourselves. But now you've gotten a lot used to secular music and some psycho-Christian secular music, because all they make you do is dance. Right? Yeah. Yeah, is it? And that's all you do. And gradually you lose your flair for spiritual songs. You lose your flair. Those days they ask you to give a song. In 5 seconds, you have a psalm. Now, I say, we love you. We've been loving him since he woke up. Remember one meeting we had in Independent Hall, 1997 or 8. It has to be 8. We asked a lady to sing, to give a psalm. She's a beautiful singer, but she went to, my friend just said, who asked you to sing Rhapsody? I said, you're singing by the Holy Ghost. You know, Holy Ghost music, we were very crazy. You know? I remember the meeting, I'm laughing already. Because she's a friend. The lady's a friend. She's still a friend. So I don't mention names. So you're used to, and you start to like entertainment. So in your heart, you like entertainment. Here you go. You're gradually being a forgetful hearer. So you are. So if we're in service now, we're singing the spirit, you're almost reluctantly. Your tongues are bungled. Wait, here is some. Bam, bam, bam. I can't deny it. I can't deny it. No. Nothing personal. I just said that. No, you are actually not doing the word. You're not doing the word. Yeah, you're quenching the spirit. That's what you're doing. So making it a practice. 1 Corinthians 12:31, covet earnestly the best gift. 1 Corinthians 14:1, desire spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 14:30, same thing. 1 Corinthians 14:39, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. In other words, this is, when I read those instructions, I must act on them all the time. I must act on them all the time. Not doing 1 Corinthians 12:31 is being an error and not a doer of the word. Praise the Lord. When was the last time you sang a psalm? In your own personal devotion. When was the last time you sang a psalm? Praise the Lord. When was the last time? acting on the word. How often should we sing psalms? It has to be every day. Praise the Lord. How often should I give thanks? Every day, every time. Not in a meeting. Then they have to wind you and wind you and wind you. They roll you like all those local generators. After like 10 minutes. Why do we after teaching the one of the Holy Ghost, there's was rejoicing as well. Then they wind. Yes, Lord.
As local meat.
You will give me to the flesh. You know. So I do the word. I'm not just a hearer, but I am a doer. Glory to God. I am a doer. I am a doer in tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Prophesy. In the things of the Spirit, I am a doer. I'm not just a hearer. I am a doer. I'm not a forgetful hearer. Glory to God. James says, whoso is lacking unto a hearer is lacking unto a man who beholds his natural face in the mirror. He says, yeah, I know. That's who I am. But he steps out. And throughout the day, what does he want to sing? Hey, Buga. Hey, Buga. Hey, where's my blessing? Hey, my blessing. I'm yet to hear that song. But I heard it from believers. I don't even know who sang it. But I heard it from spirit-filled people who are filled with something else. You know, there's a brother like that. He never gave a sound in the fellowship then. He never gave a sound. He never gave one. So one day, he said, so I think I have a song. I said, what song? He says, like a song, the way the Holy Spirit, I said, say it. I believe in your name. I believe in your wonderful name. So you are not well. You know how I went to teach for a friend at University of Lagos in 97, I think. And they had this choir. So he said he wanted me to teach them how to flow in the anointing. So I just came into their ministry office and then I saw them listening to secular music. And they said they were learning things. I said, bro, it's going to be very tough for me to teach you anything. He said, no, you can teach the spirit part. They will I said, no. I can't be sweating. I just let them do themselves. 2 years after, I think, I came to teach the same ministry. And then I spoke to a fellow, he's a popular guy now. I said, you should give a sound. Hey, brought out his Bible. You know why it's like that? Because they're substituting brass for gold. Brass for gold. See, there's an original move of the Spirit. We don't need Facebook Live to show it. It's real. You don't need to take pictures. It's real. Hallelujah. I've made a vow in my life. I never substitute what is original for any other thing. I learned from the very best. I know. I learned it from the original people. It's not second hand. No. It's not rejoicing with a conga. No. It's not blow trumpet. No. I didn't learn that kind. I learned Pauline. Praise God. You know, you can solve with brass for gold. Brass for gold. Don't solve with brass for gold. Do the things of the Spirit. In closing tonight, do it personally. When last did you rejoice in your room? If you rejoice in service, but you don't rejoice in your room, what joy have you? Such joy. Not in your room. When last did you give a laugh or a long laugh? Woo! Boy. On your own. On your own. And you're away with all that. What are you doing? You're practicing the word. Move from just the experience of the things of the Spirit to a practice of the things of the Spirit. What you say, this day I give myself to the things of the Spirit. Where you make a practice of it. And there are answers in the Spirit. I said 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 there are answers in the Spirit. Oh glory. Oh glory. Oh glory to God. The answer is in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory. You know you can't be shaken. You can't be shaken. Nothing will shake you. You can't be shaken. You can't be shaken. No news will shake you. Because you are unmovable. You understand what I'm saying? You're unmovable. Yep, 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 yep. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Yeah, yeah, yep, yep. Well, you expect something big. You expect something big, something very big. The answers are in the Spirit. The answers are in the Spirit. Well, I leave this for the few weeks to come. Praise God. Just want to give us an intro today, and then we start to do teaching practice. Praise God. I'll leave it for today. Praise God. I'll leave it for today. Glory. Glory to God. You know, we're doers. We're not hearers only. No, we're not seasonal doers of the things of the Spirit. You know, you can give tongues and interpretation all the time. You know, every morning when you have prayers, you know you can have a sound. You know, every morning you can. And those sounds will see. We are learned to start praying out our day in tongues. As you pray in the Spirit, you pray out your day. Oh, yeah. I'll be talking to you. Yeah, you pray out your day. You pray out your day. And then you wonder again, how did the day go like that? Because you've had few disappointments of late. You can change that. You know what I'm talking about? You can change that. You can change that. See, another person will come. You know what I'm saying? Another person will come. Another person will come. Praise God. A better one. A better one. A better one. Glory to God. You know what I'm talking about? A better one. A better one. Glory to God. You can pray out your day. After the prayer chain, you just lift your hand, sing it, and say it out. Glory. You'll find yourself mentioned in places you didn't plan to go. Which you'll find yourself in there. You know, wow, I said this in the morning. Glory to God. You find yourself speak out names you didn't know existed somewhere. But in the day, you find them happen. You see, make a practice of these things. Make a practice of these things, you know, in the days to come. We will walk in that glory more. We will walk in that glory more. And we won't do it instantaneously alone. We won't do it experientially alone. We will do it regularly. Make a practice of it. Make a practice of it. You know, there are things that will happen in your day. You say, I saw it in the morning. 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 Saw it last night. Yeah, you. But many of us closed our eyes when we ought to have opened it. Some shut our ears. Where you ought to hear God, you are hearing something else. You're hearing something else. Where you ought to listen to the Spirit, you're hearing the flesh. And there are a couple of us that need to stay more in the Spirit. Brother Hagee was saying that if you tarry more, if you could just tarry a little bit longer, Do you know any things of the spirit? You speak in tongues briefly, you just switch off. What about praying in tongues through the day? Through the day. If you spoke in tongues 2 hours and you saw such benefit, what about through the day? It will hurt you, would it? No, it won't. Through the day. Say there are victories in your spirit. Oh, there are battles won by the spirit. There are steps you'll take in the spirit before it happens in the natural. Oh, yep. Yes. Yep. Yeah. You know, within your spirit, you have a detector. You have a detector. You have a detector. You have a detector. And they limit mistakes. They limit mistakes. Oh, glory. You have a detector. A detector. Somewhere. Just lay hold on it. Lay hold on it. Just lay hold on it. Glory to God. Lay hold on it. See, you're going to give Satan a tough time in this world. A tough time. A tough time. You know you can handle some things better. You know you can. When I got healed 27 years ago, as I said, I'm going to heal people in their millions. I'm going to run you mad. See, same time when I had a terrible experience and someone close to me passed on, as I say that, I'm going to win more people to Jesus. You know, you can turn it around. Glory to God. You don't begin to say, why did this happen? Why did that? Turn it around. Turn the table. Glory to God. Turn the table. Say, hear me well. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to make money. I'm going to give to the gospel. Amen. Turn it around. Don't be moan. Turn it around. Turn the table. Glory to God. Turn the table on the devil. Glory to God. Turn the table on Satan. And say, I win. You know? Because there's victory in the spirit. Turn the table. Table, you've been down with sickness and disease before. Well, you are a healer either way. You are a healer either way. Oh, the healing ministry is yours. Turn the table on the devil. Turn the table on the devil. That's tonight's utterance, I think. Turn the table on Satan. Turn the table on Satan. Turn the table on demons. Turn the table. And be the one doing the chasing. Woo! Glory to God. Glory. You know, we don't bemoan in the faith. Turn the table on Satan. Turn the table on the devil. Turn the table on his demons. Turn the table. Turn the table. Say, I've got victory in the spirit. And I'm going to see with my eyes. I'm going to handle with my hands. I'll make a practice of the things of the spirit. Give God praise tonight. Come on. Give him praise. Give him praise.